As you're turning, we'll look at the rest of the chapter there. Chapter 14. The Lord is looking at their feast customs, or their just good old fashioned having friends come on over to eat customs. And first, he's talking about where you would sit, and then he goes on to talk about, hey, when you have food or when you're setting up a meal, you know, don't invite your rich friends, don't invite your folks over there that would have plenty to eat themselves. You know, invite the hungry, invite the maimed. Those would be the people that benefit from the most. And he even says, you know, you invite these people, all they're going to do is your rich friends will invite you over to their house. You'll invite them over to your house, and y'all just keep fat that way. You know, you guys will just keep inviting each other. Invite some people who are hungry. Invite some not so attractive people. I mean, from reading through that chapter, I kind of got a Martha Stewart dinner party type vibe off of it. And the Jews, when they would practice this, that's what it would be. It would all be men. They would all have some prominent place in society. They would all have a little bit of money to their name. And you'd want to bring those people. Hey, did you hear? We had so-and-so come on over to our house. And next week, he invited us over to his house. And all we're moving up in the world. And next week, we're hoping, you know, that new guy who moved in, bought the big old mansion down there at the end of the street, they're going to have us all over. And they would kind of puff up and pride themselves in that. Lord said, you know what you ought to do is you ought to take all that food, give it to people that ain't got it. You should just invite those kind of people over instead of all the good-looking people, instead of all of the moneyed people. Why don't you bring some people over that could actually use it? Now, verse 16, then said he unto him a certain, verse 15, I'll dial it back, verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, we take this to understand that he's talking about the Israelites, right? We're blessed because we'll be able to eat bread in the kingdom of God, which prompts this response. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. This was the custom. You would send out an invite with the day, but not the time. And then when all the food was ready, as a show of your finances, you would send your servant to go out and tap on doors. Hey, food's ready, come on by. And by the time you're there, they'd be bringing out the appetizers, right? Little small snacks and the cold drinks. And then when everybody is truly there, you'd move on to the main courses. So here's where we are. The invitations have gone out. The RSVPs have come in. It is now time for the servants to go and say, hey, it's supper time. I hate when I do that. I'm so far away from my Bible, I got to walk back. Hold on, wait a minute. Let me go back to where I'm supposed to be reading. Verse 17, then sent his servant at supper time to say to them that are bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, of course, we understand here a little bit of indignation. You invite all these people over for dinner and they don't want to come. And in the final hour, you've done all this preparation. They said they were on their way, but when it came time for dinner, they didn't come. Now, this here is a powerful parable talking about the relationship between God the Father and the Israelite people. They were set to come. But when the culmination of the Old Testament happened, when Jesus Christ came, what did they do? They rejected him. So then what did he do? Well, go out to those who are lost, not my people. Go out to those that are lost. And then when we've got those, go out there and get more. Go out there and get more. And we see just, I mean, that's our position in the story. And me, as though it doesn't sound like it's a very high position to be in, I'm glad to have it. I'm glad that the Lord, in his infinite mercy, didn't just save his people. I'm glad that he opened the door for salvation to all Gentiles. I'm glad for that, because that's who I am. When I look at that, that's who I see. I see myself as lame, as maimed, as destitute when it comes down to spiritual things. That's who we are. But God in his mercy brought us to the table, fed us with spiritual food, right? Restored us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But yet still, today we find ourselves in a bit of a spiritual crisis. Because while the Lord still seeks to have fellowship with his people around his table, his people are still sitting there, these new people. Now we've gone to the point to where we go, ah, Lord, I've got things. I couldn't read my Bible this morning. I've got things. I couldn't go to this or that. I couldn't participate in these things. My Bible reading's been bad, I know, but you gotta understand. Lord, don't understand those things. Because he has invited you to come and dine and fellowship with him and be a part with him. And yet we, in several times, have said, no, Lord, I've got my own thing to do. The Israelite culture was a very rich tapestry. So what the Lord is doing is he's using that to explain to them their relationship with God. Jesus was instructing them to stop wasting their time in things that do not benefit and come to the things that do. This, of course, prompts this guy here. He just, hey, listen, we're blessed to be a part of it. The Lord was trying to tell him, those days are done. That invitation is over. The Old Testament has been fulfilled. Welcome to the days of grace. Welcome to the church age. But the thing is that you have no part of it. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to come in when I say come in, because you have your stuff. You have your things. How sad it would be for us who were welcomed in the last hour. How sad it would be for those of us who had need of what the Lord was offering if we became the people that sat there and said, listen, we're a bit busy. We've got other things going on. When it comes down to God and the things that pertain to him, it ought to have a number one spot in our lives. Because it just makes sense. That education and how to live life. That blessing that he provides in all things in our lives. That watch care he puts over us. Why would we not want those things? We see here that everybody in this story received an invitation. To the Jews, it was through the Abrahamic covenant. You will be my people. For the Christian, it is through the cross. Because of Jesus Christ's death on that cross. Now there is no longer Jew nor Gentile, as the Bible says. But we are all under what? Oh, now we're all, if you're saved, you're under grace. Under grace. We've been talking about that through our study of the book of Galatians. But I'll tell you this. We, if you are saved, you've got that invitation. Come to the table. Speak with me. Walk with me. Come to church and kneel down in your private times. And when you go out for your recreation, I'll come with you. And I like that song, In the Garden. I was referencing it back there. You know, we're going to go fishing with Brother Dennis because I want to prove something to him. I don't catch fish. Gideon will catch a fish the size of me. I'm going to catch a bluegill about this big. That's it. But I don't catch no fish you can eat. But I say, hey, listen, the Lord walks with me. He talks with me. But he don't go fishing with me. All right? That's where he teaches me humility. That's where I learn humility. No, but I love that song. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. We have that opportunity in everything we do to walk with God, to be with God. Oh, but we sequester God into this Sunday morning box in our hearts. And our Bibles, they sit there unread, unbothered. Our hearts don't meditate on the Word of God. We are invited to the table, but we've got other things to do. Don't you understand? This television ain't going to watch itself, Lord. Don't you understand? This golf ball ain't going to find itself in a hole unless I'm there on a Sunday morning. Oh my. Don't you know? Don't you know you could go fishing on a Monday? We're going Tuesday, right? Don't you know you could go on a Tuesday? I know some of y'all golf on a Tuesday. Y'all know you could golf on a Tuesday. That's good. Some people don't know that. Some people think you got to golf on a Sunday and no other time, right? Well, you're retired. What are you possibly doing golfing on a Sunday morning? Well, that's when all the good tees are available? Is that when they show up at the good tees? I don't know. Is that when the fresh golf balls are? I don't know. We got excuses. We've got reasons. Hey, this is what I should be doing. Why didn't you read? Why didn't you pray? Why didn't you check in with God? Oh, well, you have to understand how busy I am. I'm glad God's not too busy for me. Just sitting up there, answering the needs and the calls and the necessities of all His people. Making sure everything goes the way that it ought to go. Protecting me from everything that could happen. Protecting you from everything that could happen. Making sure we're fed. Making sure we're healthy. Making sure we're able to survive with what we got. I'm sure glad He ain't too busy for me. I'm glad that when the Father told the Son to go on down and be born of a virgin, I'm glad Jesus didn't have some kind of a career He was working on that overtook the need to come in there. I'm glad. What we need is we need to put the Lord first in our lives. Because how sad is it for us to receive the invitation and do nothing? Listen, you see this? You have one of these? That's your invitation to read. Your daily cares and concerns, those are your invitations to pray. Everything that goes on in our lives points to the Lord. That's our invitation to go to Him. Sometimes, you know, we'll open up what we call an invitation. Just play a song, invite people to come on down. Maybe take the Lord as their Savior. Maybe get some sin right in their lives. There's your invitation. We literally call it that. So what do? Do we answer those invitations? If you're a child of God, you answered that invitation for salvation. Wasn't that good? We would call that RSVPing, would we not? Hey, listen, sign me up for a lifetime in God's fellowship. Sign me up. Absolutely. I know that that's going to mean that I can't take part in other things, right? You sign up for one thing, you can't go do two. Wouldn't that be fun if you just, what was it, somebody told me earlier, our pastor used to say this, and he said it to me, he goes, you just need to run yourself over the copier. And of course we can't, our copier is too small. But I thought that was funny. That was a joke, I'm sorry. No, it would be fun to be able to do more than one thing at a time, but we can't. We can't. So we say, hey, listen, I'll sign up for a lifetime of serving the Lord. I'll sign up for a lifetime of checking in with Him and loving Him. I mean, He loved me, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? We love Him because He first loved us. We all, for those of you who are saved, we all are RSVP'd to His invitation. And here we are. You know, for the Israelite, they claimed their inheritance. For us, we repented and put our trust in Him. Romans 1:16, we use this in our Friday morning fellowship. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed? Listen, when I knelt down, you know, for me it was I had a dinosaur comforter on my bed. I was just a young boy. When the Lord saved me, I was glad for it. I wasn't ashamed about it. I don't care what month it is. I ain't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't care what the year is. I ain't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's 2023. People still believe that? You better believe it. He's right here. Well, you're being awful loud concerning the atmosphere. I've never worried about the atmosphere. I don't. Well, you must be real uncomfortable with everything going on. I'm a lot more comfortable in my eternity. I'll be comfortable there. Because I believed that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. Now, why? Because in the Garden of Eden, man became sinners. And because of that sin, we weren't fit for the halls of heaven. We weren't fit for a relationship with God. That relationship between him and sin is like light and dark. You can't bring darkness into the light. You can't. You just can't. So what must we then do? Repent of our sin. Trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We got to believe. We got to believe. For those of us that have, that's how you did it. Hey, listen, I'm coming, Lord, absolutely. If that's what you want in my life, that's what you can have. If that's what you're asking for, you better believe I'm there because you've given me such a wonderful thing. How could anything else that you have for me go wrong? And I haven't lived my whole life yet, but the life I've had right now, if it ends today, I could honestly tell you this, my God has never failed me, and everything he's ever promised me has come true. I have not always recognized it. I have not always focused on it the way that I should, but it has always been there. It's been hard to see through the troubles and trials and concerns, but I'll tell you this, it has always been there. It's almost like, hey, would you want to go over to dinner at so-and-so's house? Oh, what are they doing? Oh, they're doing brisket. Oh, you know they're good at that, right? Hey, you want to come over to so-and-so's house? What are they making? They're making this. Ooh, if they're making it, I am there. Don't you have a doctor's appointment? I think that doctor appointment's about to move. If they're cooking that, I'm there. If the Lord invites me to that table, I know whatever's at that table. Right? I know that if I pray, it's going to be a good time. I know that if I open that book, I'm going to find something in there I need. I'm going to find it. So often in the hardest times of my life, when I've done nothing but open that book and read, I have found what it is I was looking for. It has never failed me. I can think of a time I was wore out. I'll do that every now and then. I just get beat up. The brain don't work the way that it should. You know how it is. You work hard, you study things out. Typically, it's right after camp. You know, we did this last year after camp. I was tired mentally. Right? Physically, I was ready to go another week, but mentally, gone. Take some time alone. I said, you know what I'm going to read? I'm going to read through the book of Psalms. It took me 2 hours to get past the first one. Because in there was something I was struggling with. In there was something that I needed. And I didn't know I needed it. But I grabbed a hold of it. It has changed the last year. That must be a powerful verse. Ain't one verse more powerful than the other. It just fit a need I had. So I tell you what, Lord, you want me to come to the table. Let me get my apron. Let me get my, not apron, but let me get my bib. Get that on. I'm coming to the table. What do you got for me today? We're talking about a daily relationship with God. Do you have it? A daily walk with Christ. Do you have it? Because if not, I'm going to tell you this. You are missing out. Because I'll tell you this. When it came down to it, in this story of the parable, the friends, the moneyed individuals, the good-looking people, they didn't show up. They all had their excuses. When we're looking at the Israelite people, as the Lord is making reference to in this parable, they rejected Christ. Well, brother, I'm hungry. I'm here. I'm at church. I'm here often. I pray. I read my Bible. What could I possibly do? I'll tell you, you step back from them. You step back from them. Doesn't it hurt you when a friend you're really close to stops answering the phone? Stops responding to you. Now, you've lived long enough. You've probably had that a few times. And you sat there wondering, well, what happened? We used to talk all the time. We used to go over there. We'd do this. We'd do that. We'd bowl, whatever. Now, all of a sudden, they ain't got no time for me. That's how we do it to the Lord. How about this? Any of you parents wish your children would call you, come over more often? And then you ask them, well, I call them every week. Well, you know, we come over for Christmas and birthdays. We come over for this and that. 4th of July cookouts and whatnot. You as a parent, you probably sit there and go, I wish they'd pick up the phone. I wish they'd spend a little bit more time. That's how we do the Lord. When we should be there, we ain't. We're not. When we should be a part of something, we step back. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know, you think about that. Wake up in the morning, there's the Lord. What's he waiting on? He's waiting on his children to come check in. All right, it's time for those Michigan people to come on in and say good morning. So-and-so wakes up at this o'clock. They should be here any... Oh, nope, they're on the phone. All right, maybe they... All right, I gave them health. I gave them the ability. They should be able to be praying anytime soon here. Nope, no good morning for me, I guess. All right. And then we go out through the day. Well, eventually he'll check in. You know, it's about that time before he heads off to work. He ought to be picking up that Bible, right? And I'll talk to him. And we don't pick it up. Right? How about a good Sunday morning? Now listen, some of y'all, you have some physical ailments. Some, you can't be here for every service. I get that. I get that. But Sunday morning, you're in fine health. Ah, you feel good. You ever just wake up and you feel good? Please say yes. I need to know that when I get older, I'll eventually feel good. You get up, you feel good. You go, it's a good morning. You know what? It is such a good morning. I'm going to go for a walk. I ain't going to church. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, you know what we ought to do? This would be a good morning for Cedar Point. Or Brother Bill, you go to Cedar Point? No? Okay. Been a while? Me too. I'm going to take off. I'm going to go do this. No, you shouldn't do that. That's where I'm going to be. Sunday morning, sitting there playing golf or hitting up the farmer's market on a Sunday morning? No. I got to be where the Lord wants me to be. You go the whole day. You never crack the pages of the Word. That's how we step back from Christ. That's how we step back. Get the opportunity to serve the Lord. We don't take it. He lays it right out in front of us and we just back off. What did they do instead? They made excuses. Now I want to be very clear. You can have a career and love the Lord. You can have a family and love the Lord. You can handle all your house chores and love the Lord. But you put any of those animals between you and the Lord, and you're going to have a hard time. Let's look at some of these excuses that they threw out there. And they all with one consent, this is verse 18, by the way, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs to go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now think about that. How on earth did you, from the time you received the invitation to the time it was time to come to dinner, buy a piece of ground, and all of a sudden, now you gotta go look at it and make sure it's right. That sounds like something I could probably do tomorrow. That sounds like something I probably should have done yesterday. But if I'm gonna give my word, then I'm gonna show up. But I tell you what, you gotta have a piece of ground, don't you? Whether it's your home or a patch that you're building on. I mean, you build your garden. We all have things like that. You know, I spent a lot of time this week working on the lawn, and I tell you what, it was fulfilling. It was nice. It was good. We all have those things. But those things can't come before the Lord. We can't put the home life in front of God Himself. And I'm going to promise you this. You put God where He belongs, and you're going to have plenty of room for all these things. As a matter of fact, it'll get a whole lot better. I want you to remember the widow woman that took in the prophet. And as she sat there, she said, listen, I ain't got no room for anybody else. We barely have any oil. We barely have any bread. We can't serve. She ended up having oil the whole time, did she not? throughout the whole famine, she had oil. That pot never stopped. God will give extra when you put Him first. God will bless when you put Him first. You will not want for anything. Is that not what we're talking about on a Sunday night? What could you really want for if God is first? Well, if I put God first, that's just a disadvantage for everybody else. No, I'm telling you this. It'll amplify what you have for everybody else. Right? We need to put God first in our chores as well as in our activities. Right? We put the Lord first. We haven't seen the Roland side of the family in a good long while outside of this funeral we just had. So I got the idea that the next was Labor Day. We're going to have everybody come on over and we're going to have a barbecue in the backyard and it's going to be good old-fashioned time. And immediately I put it out there. Guess what I immediately got back? I work on Monday. Can we do it on a Sunday? And I immediately fired back. I work on a Sunday. We got to do it Monday. Now here's the thing, back before, you know, I had a full-time job. I understand you can't make it somewhere on a Monday. I get that. I never used to be able to make it to things on a Monday either. But I'm going to tell you this. I never skipped out on a Sunday morning for it. Never would. Oh, but it's so-and-so's birthday. Well, so-and-so, your birthday was on a Friday. Can we do it Saturday? Nope. All right, I'll send you a present. What do you want? That's how I did it. And at first people were angry. You know how people feel about it now? They don't care. They understand. I'll get a thank you card. Hey, thank you. Sorry you couldn't make it. We sent some cake home to your ma. That's how it goes. We'll catch you in the next one. All right, fine. I'll catch you in the next one. I'll meet up special with people later. Hey, listen, I'm sorry I missed it, but can we get together on such and such? I'll buy you lunch. All right, that sounds good. Boom. Problem solved. You ain't got to do that stuff. I can take care of the home, take care of the family. You ain't got to cheat on the Lord. Perfectly easy, perfectly natural, it's just fine. But I'm busy at home. I got chores, I got all these activities I got to do. You put them in the right place, and the Lord will bless it. The Lord will bless it. You put the Lord in the wrong spot, you're going to have a hot mess and everything. If the Lord ain't in His spot, nothing else is going to be in its spot. Well, why am I having such a hard time getting this done? Why is it that I've had to call three plumbers in just for this job? Why is it this? Why is it that? I'll tell you this. Sometimes the Lord's bringing you through a trial. Sometimes you've got Him in the wrong spot. And He's trying to get your priorities straightened out. We had this happen last week. I was driving down. We were doing some stuff for camp, and I was meeting with somebody. Had a good long meeting. Went to go start the van. Van wouldn't start. Tried to jump the van, wouldn't jump. And I'm bugged about it, and I'm fighting about it, and I'm irritated about it. And I put my hand, I'm praying about it. I don't understand. Why? Why won't this thing start? We had to call AAA. AAA came out, the battery was bad. It had a dead cell in it. But that guy checked my alternator, checked my battery, checked me out. He had my battery right there on his van. Sold it to me for the same price I could have gone over just to put it on myself. 3-year warranty. He gave me the whole deal. It was a good deal. But I don't think the Lord put me there for that deal. I think because I was doing activity work. But I failed to focus on the spiritual work. You know, I told the people on the Friday morning thing, I firmly believe that the Lord caused that to happen so I could meet the guy who was moving around in the van. That's what I think I was there for. Oh, I don't get it. I'm so frustrated. Pay attention to what the Lord wants you to do. I tell you what, you're going to have, things are going to go a whole lot easier. I got home and I wrote a phrase I'd never thought I'd have to write. I was reaching out to my buddy. I said, hey, listen, don't worry. I made it home. And I'll tell you what, I'm kind of glad my car broke down. Anybody here, you ever wrote the phrase or said the phrase, I'm kind of glad my car broke down? Probably not. I was, because it gave me an opportunity to serve the Lord. You put the Lord where He belongs. And I'm telling you, He'll bless. What about this next guy? And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Hey, listen, I bought these new oxen, and I got to train them up. We got to get this right. I got to make sure they're good, make sure they're healthy. How did that come up? I mean, think about it. As a child of God, how does that come up? Now, I get why he needed to do it. You buy oxen because you're doing some work. And I'll tell you this, if anybody here is guilty of putting work first, I have been there. I have been there. But you know how I did it? I didn't do what the CEO or the guy going for foreman or the person who stretches themselves out working 14, 15, 16 hours a day did, skipping church, promising that, hey, when I retire, I'll be more serious about God. I didn't do that. You know what I did? I did it in subtle ways. I would work for 12, 13, 14 hours. And Sister Danielle knows what I would do. I'd come home, I'd open that laptop up while I was eating my dinner, and I would keep working. And I tell you what, if you're working those hours, and you come home and you're working those hours, you got time for your family? No, you don't. You got time to read your Bible? Not as much as you should. Not as much as I could, I'll be honest with you. I struggled in that endeavor. It wasn't about missing this or that. I had perfect attendance, man. Unless I was sick or we were traveling or something important, I was there. That wasn't my problem. My problem was worse. My problem was I was doing those things, but I didn't put anything of value into my walk with God. I didn't put anything of value into it. And then, of course, we do got to look at those people that say, hey, listen, there'll be plenty of time for God. And I've heard people say this, there's plenty of time for God when I retire. Now, I'm going to ask you something. You don't got to pop your hand up, but I'm going to ask you something. For those of you who are retired, you're serving the Lord with all your strength and with all your might and with all your mind. I would dare say that that is a condition we each and every one of us have. So what is it? It's an excuse. I could have closed that laptop. Man, I should have closed that laptop, spent more time in the Bible. I should have. But you know what? Oh, I got to get to the corporate office. I got to get to the corporate office, man. I can't. I got to get there. Hey, honey, why don't you come to church with us on Sunday? You know I can't. You know what? I got to go in. I got to do. But honey, this is your day off. I got to go in. All right, well, what about this thing? It's on a Saturday night. It's a Saturday night singing. Why don't you come to that? No. We're going to get together. We're going to go over these briefs. We're going to put in the overtime to finish this or that. I got to be the foreman. I got to do this. I got to get to the corporate office. I got to be partner. I got to be whatever. And we pour all of ourselves into a career. And we're like that guy who built his barns up. Luke 12:20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? We had a property manager I really looked up to. I really was impressed by her work ethic and just the way she had things under control. And it was a property that had been like on fire. It was bad. Everything was going wrong. She stepped in. She made everything go right. She was everyone's hero. Worked herself to death. She was there. I would go. I'd get an on-call because I was a maintenance guy to come back at 11 o'clock. I'd go into the office to grab a key or something like that. And guess who I'd find in her office? That lady. She worked night and day hoping to get ahead. Then they sold the property out from underneath us. And guess who wasn't offered to come back with us and didn't receive an offer to stay with them? Her. You know how many people die working 100 hours a week to get to promotions they'll never touch? And they go off into an eternity where bonuses and overtimes and things like that didn't mean a thing. Didn't mean a thing. Now listen, you got to work, you got to work. You got to put in overtime, you got to put in overtime. But don't put God in the wrong spot. Don't put God in the wrong spot. You do that, you're laying a curse on everything you do. And I'll tell you this from perspective. I'll tell you this from my perspective. I've been there. I've seen it. Some of the worst times in my life was when I let my Bible study, and my prayer life, and the spiritual strength that I should have been gaining go to waste. One of the worst times in my life, I had less patience, less strength, less ability. Why? Because I let my daily walks suffer. You know, somebody asked me one time, you keep mentioning these things. I was at the Clarksville conference down there. You kind of preached on the same thing you did. I go, the reason why I keep preaching on the same four things, you know, Bible study, Bible reading, prayer and service. The reason why I keep bringing those up is because I know how bad it hurts when you don't have it. I know how bad it hurts when you don't have it. Right? Think about your physical health. Anybody here, if we needed to run back to the pole barn, you could run back to the pole barn and be okay? For some of us, yeah, sure. Some of us would be back there going, hur. Some of you would just be like, you guys go on. Let me know what you find. Everybody's body's at a different point. You know it when it ain't there, right? You know it when your body ain't your body, right? You know when your spirit ain't right. You know when it's not right. You know the pain that comes from it. We need to make sure that we put things into their proper perspective. And believe you me, God will bless those things. God will bless. Let's look what the other guy said. The other guy, somehow, between RSVPing and the servant coming to knock on the door, he found himself a wife. Verse 20, another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know how many times I've heard people use their family as an excuse for why they can't have daily walks with God? Why they can't fellowship, why they can't go to church. Oh, brother, we would love to be there for this thing, for our Sunday school thing. But the reason why he's not going to be able to go to Sunday school anymore is because we signed up for travel ball. And right now, that's where we'd really like to focus. Well, I'll tell you what, you focus on travel ball, you know what you'll have? You'll have a kid who's really good at playing ball. And they'll develop this dream to go to the big leagues, and maybe they'll make it. Most likely they won't. I'm not here to guess. You know, we had a kid at Flat Rock. I'm kind of convinced he might get there. I would not be surprised if I could buy a baseball card with his name on it one day. He's good. But I'll tell you this, you focus on the wrong thing with your family, you get what you get. You get what you get. Now, I'm not saying that we could force salvation on anybody, but what I am saying is this, is if I teach my kids that the sports come first, that playing around comes first, I am adding to an already large problem. Can you agree with that? I'm already adding to something that's already bad enough. I'm pouring fuel on a fire. It's bad. Now, what else? Well, you know, I would go. But you know what, my spouse, they really want us to do this. We had that problem in our house where mom wanted to take us to church on a Sunday because for a while it was just me going to church. I brought my mom to church, right? And after a while, Lord saved her. She became a member. She brought us to church, and that was wonderful, wonderful. Well, my dad wanted to go out camping, wanted to go up to the family property. You know, that was a battle that took place. That is a very real battle that happens. We got to decide what level of appeasement we give to what. This guy's sitting there saying, well, I've got a new wife. You know, I've seen that happen where people that are on fire for the Lord, they get married and all of a sudden they become real, real happy sitting on that couch for a while. It's like they in their 20s, they got married. They just fast forward right to retirement. They're going to bed at 8:30. Right, I can't go here. I can't go there. Oh, we cannot sacrifice our family by putting the wrong kind of attention on it. Did you know you're perfectly possible to have a happy marriage and a good walk with the Lord? As a matter of fact, that's one of the best ways to get it. One of the best ways to get it. Walk daily with the Lord. Be humble, obedient to Him. And I'll tell you what, you're going to have yourself a happy marriage. You know what? I'm in church so often. I focus on my work. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I still have time for those kids back there. I caught a comment yesterday, made me sad. Danielle's mom found an activity for kids. We took the kids down there. And there was this fun little thing. Gideon, I'm going to tell a story about you. I can't see them, so it's okay. They can make these, you remember those pool noodles? Those pool noodles you can buy? You put them in the pool and they're brightly colored. They made little horsies out of them. And then they set up an obstacle course for you to run through with your horsey. It was really cool. It was a good obstacle course. It was really well done. And they got to pick up a sword and knock some pegs down. And it was a good thing. But I sat there. It was Gideon's turn. I look over at the lady. I go, hey, can I run alongside him? I won't move him. I won't pick him up. I won't help him. Because it was kind of a complicated thing. I just want to be there. And I did what dads do, right? Don't you cheer him on? All right, over here. Good, good, good. All right, over here. We had a good time. But I looked over at her and said, hey, is this okay if I do this? She goes, I wish all the parents were doing this. And I go, oh, that's weird. Because shouldn't that be what parents do? Now, you could do that, and guess what? We didn't have to sacrifice our relationship with the Lord to do it. You know, I ran through with him. I shuffled through with Melody, which was hilarious. Just, I'm there for him. Now, you could be there at the ball game, still show up on a Sunday morning for service. You could take your kids on good vacations and lead the day off with prayer. You could do that. As a matter of fact, the sweeter your relationship with the Lord is, the better your relationship with the kids are. Because as you're obeying him, you're learning how to be a better parent. You're learning how to be a better spouse. And that improves everything. When you yourself are acting better because you're acting under God's instruction, I'm telling you, that time, that energy, that love will be like no other time in your life. But if I make things in my life an excuse, and folks, that's what it is. Didn't we go through this? Right? Many of you, you've retired. Would you say that after you retired, your relationship with the Lord grew closer because that job was done? Some would sit there and say yes. Some would sit there and say, well, no, brother. As a matter of fact, I still have a lot of improvement to make. Why? Because it was never about the job. Never about the job. I've seen people that go from grand houses with lots of upkeep to apartments where they didn't have to do anything. And I would fairly say that it wasn't the house chores nor the upkeep of it that was the source of their spiritual problems. Many people, their kids flew the coop. They're gone. They're empty nesters. You know what it's like. And yet, without anybody's nose to wipe and no one else's dishes to clean but your own, your walk with God still ain't what it should be. That's why I call them excuses, because they ain't the real problem. The real problem is what? It's us. My lack of submission. My lack of obedience. My lack of desire to come to the table when he calls me to the table. Right? Those that toil long and hard in physical jobs, I understand that. But I'm going to tell you this, you need the Word of God to do that. You need the Word of God. You need prayer in order to do that without burning out. You need time with God for that to work. For those that have families and we're working hard and we're raising them, and for those of you that remember doing that, you know, you need prayer. You need to come to the table with God. You need that, or else nothing goes right. Because I'll tell you this, it makes no sense whatsoever for us to have access to the Lord's presence and neglect it. Look at the people. They were hungry, destitute. They were maimed. They were blind. They had need of the Lord's table. And I'm going to tell you this right here. You need God's presence in your life. And it is open to you. The dinner bell is ringing. And yet, where are we? Oh, brother, I got stuff. You watch that stuff disappear and you'll have a different excuse. Once that excuse is gone, oh, you'll have another. And one after that, just in case. I submit to God. I submit to God. That's the way it's got to be. With all that he has, what is it that Jesus Christ has been? He's been the greatest friend we've ever had. Now, brother, why do you say that? Well, I'll give you some verses for it. Did he not say, greater love hath no man than this? That he laid down his life for his friends. I've had a lot of really good friends. Ain't none of them died for me. Jesus Christ is the sweetest friend I know. That ain't just a song, that's the truth. Because I ain't worth it. I ain't shown the proper amount of gratitude, and I would wonder if maybe you would say the same. I ain't shown the right amount of gratitude. But he did it anyway. You know what? He knew what I was. He was there when I was crafted. He knew what I was. He knew my weaknesses. He knew that it was me out there halt and lame. He knew me. And he did it anyway. That is a good friend. Is that not a good friend? I want you to think your bestest buddy on earth invites you over on a Friday. Where are you going to be? You'd go there. Hey, listen, we'd like you to come on over. We're having a barbecue. Oh, don't worry, man. I'll be there. Don't worry. Well, is your husband? I don't know. We'll drag him along. You know, you'll be there. God wants a daily walk with you. A daily walk. And there ain't nothing but good going to come out of it for you. Doesn't make any sense when we pull back from him, when we stop talking to him, when we stop reading his word. It doesn't make any sense. Did he not give you salvation? I'll tell you what, I've never been to hell, and I'm looking to be glad I don't have to. You know, my wife, she went to Japan when she was in high school, and she talks about all the wonderful sights, and I go, ooh. She talk about, oh, we went over here and we did this, and I go, that sounds really cool. But then she'll talk about the food. And I go, man, I'm never going there, man. I'll tell you, I'm never gonna. It was a live squid one time. They would feed her stuff, tell her what it was later. Now I'm not picking on them because I'd do the same thing. But not my thing, the live squid deal. Come on over, have some raw fish. Nope. You deep fry it, maybe. But fish sticks, maybe. But raw fish rolls, no. She likes sushi. They'll make the ones with the veggies in it. I'll get the one with the veggies in it. I'll have a little vegetable roll of things. You sit there, you look at the biblical definition of hell. What it is. The fire, it's called a lake of fire. I don't like a lake of fire. That don't sound good to me. And where do I be? Do I get to watch it? Do I get to roast marshmallows over it? Do I get to have a Bud Light with some friends next to it? No! You're in it! With a body that never stops. I mean, I tell you what, if I fell into some lava, that pain would eventually end. I'd die. And that fire that's never quenched, that pain never dies. I'm not looking forward to that. And praise God, I don't have to see that. Not by my merit, not because of anything I've done, but because of the gift of God. He died on the cross for my sin, became sin for me, so I wouldn't have to see that. I'm never going to have to see it. And I praise God for that. That's a good friend, isn't it? I tell you what, I'll take anything you got if that's what you've done for me day one. Day one, that's what you bring to me. What else does he bring to us? He brings to us blessings. Brings to us great and wonderful blessings. We've had several prayers answered lately. Things that we're like, well, that's probably not going to be so good. We're waiting on the answers to others. But for many of you, just to be here this morning, Sister Bonnie, I think about you, the struggles you've had with your health. Coming in this morning, Sister Mary, Sister Theta, always a pleasure to see you guys. Always uplifts my spirit. I don't know if you all know you're preaching every time you show up, but you are. You're preaching to people like me. Just how to be strong, right? Praise the Lord for you. Those are blessings. One, for us to have people like you in our lives, but two, to be able to have the strength to walk in here today. Praise the Lord. The blessings we get. Anybody here, you had breakfast this morning? That's a blessing. Some parts in the world, you can't get that. Ain't got that in some places. Anybody here, you overate a little bit for breakfast? That's unheard of in some places. Right? You drive a car here this morning? Huge part of the world's population don't know what that's like. We're blessed. And he puts that out there. Man, every time you pull your key out of your pocket and put it in the ignition, you need to praise the Lord he gave you a car. Every time you step up out of bed, you need to be glad for the ability to step out. Brother, you don't understand how badly it hurts. Well, I've known some people who can't do that. I've known some people that need a nurse or two just to help them do it, so be glad for what you got. And I know that sounds rich coming from somebody who can, but I'm just saying. Some of you have even been in that position where you couldn't get out of bed. You know what it is to be blessed to be here this morning. We receive blessings all over. And not just this, you know, as a saved person, you don't just get not hell. I'm glad that it's not, well, okay, well, in the end, you don't have to go to hell. You get more than that. You ever read through the descriptions of heaven? The descriptions of the New Jerusalem? I'm going to be thrilled just to be able to see those places. We get to live in the new heaven. We get to live there. I'd be happy for a vacation. Right? If a 2-week vacation to heaven was what the Lord gave me, that'd be more than a blessing. But you get an eternity in there. Never to be sick. Never to have to sort your pills out. Never have to sit there and worry about whether or not the rain's coming and your leg's going to work okay. Ain't got to sit there and check in with the doctor. No more appointments. No more juggling appointments. Anybody here, you do those televised, not those televised, but those over the internet doctor's appointments? Doesn't that seem silly? Like I said, like I don't know, doc. It might feel bumpy. It feels kind of squishy. I don't know. That's silly. None of those. How about this? No more goodbyes. No more goodbyes. No more bad news. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. He gave us all of that, so I'll tell you this. I am ready for whatever he has for us. And hey, while we're here, let's take a quick look at all that he has for us at that table. Prayer is good. A day without prayer is miserable. It really is. The thing is that we get into a habit of it and we fail to get the benefits from daily prayer. We don't see the value of it. But I'll tell you this, just to be able to sit there, doesn't matter how early, doesn't matter how late, doesn't matter what you're doing. That sweet hour of prayer where you talk to him, you lay your burdens down to him, you ask him for help in things, you get forgiveness for things, you bring up the cares and concerns of your friends and relatives. It'll do a lot of good for your soul. What about Bible reading? I'll tell you this, if you're struggling with your Bible reading, I want you to try to remember the last time you read the Word and it did something really good for you. It showed you something. As I've said, you know, I schedule my Bible reading. I make sure that I'm following at a good clip to keep me from being lazy. But if Bible reading just becomes a thing on your to-do list, you're not going to get the full benefit out of it. We ought to mine through the Word of God like someone desperate for gold mines at the side of a river. Just do that little... prospecting. I'm going to find something in here, and I'm going to turn over every leaf. I'm going to turn over every word. I'm going to find something in this Bible to apply to my life. And I'll tell you this, you go looking for things, you'll find them. You'll find them. I've got this buddy, he's a contractor, and it's hard to go anywhere with him because he's a contractor. And we'll walk into a room, and he goes, "Ooh, you see that?" And he'll tell me something bad about something that happened in the room. He goes, "That's not good. They should have done this, this, or that. That's going to be a big issue in 5 years. That's going to cost them like $4,000. This is a taco place. Can we just come back from the bathroom out of somewhere? All right, they really need to remodel that thing. This is going wrong. That's going wrong. Blah, 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 blah." Everywhere you go, he's looking at how they do stuff. And it's how he learned. He's just looking at problems and how to solve them. But after a while, that's all he sees. But I'll tell you what, if you look for something, more than likely you're going to find something, right? If I'm looking for fruit and I go to a fruit tree, what am I going to find? I'm going to find me some fruit, aren't I? Now, some of you, you're getting up to that point. You go out to your garden. What are you looking for? Vegetables, right? And we're getting to the part where you're just putting it in the ground. It's starting to grow. But eventually, you're going to go out there looking for what? You're going to be looking for some vegetables. And what will you find one day? Those vegetables. Why? Because it's a vegetable garden, brother. What are you trying to get at? You go looking for good in the Bible. You go looking for what you need. It's like wandering through a garden. You're going to find it. You're going to find the things you need. Maybe not all the entertaining stuff you want, but you're going to find exactly what you need. What about in preaching? Maybe not mine, but there should be some good preaching out there. In those sermons, as the Word of God is being preached and thrown out there, we find sweet communion with Him. I've seen so often where people stop saying amen, and you see in their heart they're saying the other thing. Oh, me. That's who I am. That's me. Lord, you know He's talking about me up there. Please forgive me. Help me, Lord, to have good attention during this time and pick these up. And Lord, let me not be guilty of this the next time I hear it preached. Lord, help me to lay this sin aside. Help me to begin this line of service or doing this thing. I've seen a lot of people get mad at preachers. How dare you preach on what I'm doing? Listen, it's a big book, and we're sinners. I am eventually going to get to your sin. But I want you to understand that I'm almost constantly on mine, okay? So it's a two-way street. You get to hear it for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. I get to deal with it for weeks. You understand? You get the easy pass. I've never understood why people get mad at preachers for what they preach. Don't you know we got to carry it a whole lot farther than you do, right? You even get to do this. You get to go home and start forgetting about this sermon. I get to relive this sermon on Monday when I'm kicking myself, okay? Get to those sermons. Let the Word of God speak to you through the preaching of it. Don't get angry. Don't get to the side of it. Believe me, when we open the Word of God, everyone's going to get dealt with. And sometimes me more than most. I even told you the part here that stung me the most, because I've got regrets from the things I was doing. And I don't mind telling you I'm guilty. That's my way of walking down the aisle. I'll tell you right now, I've had issues with some of these things. And it wasn't until I got them under control and put things in their proper perspective that I truly understood the damage they were doing to my life. Stop making excuses for not having a daily walk with God. And that's all they are. That's all they are. What about teaching? It is very comfortable for some to show up after the Sunday school hour. And of course, me being a Sunday school teacher, it's hard to talk on this, but it's the truth. It's very easy. You know, I'll go to services. Well, I'll come to Sunday school. Well, yeah, but I'm really well learned. You know what I found? I mean, I've got a decent education. I'm heavy into study, but you know what I find myself needing to do? Go back over stuff. Oh, but I sat under such preachers as so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, I've sat under a lot of really intelligent preachers. I still have some really intelligent preachers who are still teaching me things. They'll send me their notes. They'll send me things that they've written, and I'll pore through those things. I've sat under some great teachers. That says nothing about me. I go back over and I relearn. Well, brother, how many times are you going to go through creation in scriptures? Well, to the day I die. How long are you going to go over this passage and that passage? How often do you really need to study that? Didn't you just go through that? Yep. About 4 or 5 years ago. And here I am again. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I have a problem with this thing. I forget stuff. I need to be reminded of stuff. And hey, if it was a blessing the first time, it'll definitely be a blessing the next time. What about fellowship? Oh, don't forget worship. Oh, I think that's where a lot of Christians fail. We fail to walk with God in our worship. You know, we sit here and we sing songs, and that's wonderful. It's wonderful to sing songs as a congregation, but that's group worship. What about individual worship, which takes many forms? I mean, you could write poetry. Sometimes, you know, I met some person, they go, I'm not good at writing stuff. I'm not good at music. I really don't know what to say to the Lord to tell Him how grateful I am. So you know what they did? They read the book of Psalms out loud to the Lord. That's what they did. They'd pick up a songbook and they'd read it and say, hey, Lord, this is what I feel about you right now. And you know what? I'm not mad at that. You mad at that? That sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. Worship the Lord. We're offered to come to the table in place of ones that refuse to come. Well, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the person with an empty belly refusing to come to the table. My spirit gets drained every now and then. I need daily communication with the Lord, or else I start making messes. So what will we do with the invitation open? Will we be proud? Will we sit on our excuses? And the cows that we just, or sorry, the oxen that we just bought, or the land that we just bought, or the girl we just married, are we going to be those guys? Because I'll tell you what, that girl he just married, she'd probably do supper on her own. She'd probably be all right. That ground ain't going nowhere. That's a wonderful thing about ground. It's hard to steal. You know, it's hard to steal. Those oxen, man, if you've got servants watching them now, you have servants watching them for the rest of the day, right? Come to dinner. Come. Lord ain't going to take your stuff away. Lord ain't going to cause you to suffer. We need to lay aside those excuses and come to the table with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you help us to have a daily experience with you. Lord, not something magical and mystical and grandstanding and hyper-spiritual as so often we see portrayed in modern Christianity, but Lord, help us to have a real relationship. Lord, to see you, to talk to you, to be a part of the things that you would have us to do, that Lord, we would let no excuse come between us, but the Father, we would give daily, give daily attention to this relationship, and Lord, help us in our worship of you, to grow close to you, so that Father, we can stay strong, we can keep a good walk with you, and that Lord, when the hard times come, we're less flappable because of how close we are to you. Lord, we see all the benefits of coming to your table. Lord, I pray not a one of us be found not there in the time comes. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.